Hey everyone, Josh here. Quick question for you. Do you like coffee? Even more important question, do you like fresh coffee? Coffee that's roasted to order and doesn't taste like the bottom of your kitchen oven? If you answered yes to any of these questions, then you need to head over to MaquanoCoffee.com and get yourself some of the best coffee there is to get. Whether you like the light roast or the dark roast, or you're feeling a little whimsical and you want to get that sample pack, Maquano Coffee Roasters has everything you need. And just when you thought this couldn't get any sweeter, make sure to use the promo code REFORMATORY to get 20% off all bagged coffee. Do yourself a favor and stop drinking bad coffee, because you know what? Life's too short for that. Head on over to MaquanoCoffee.com and use the promo code REFORMATORY to get 20% off all bagged coffee. You will not regret it. Thanks, and now on to the show.
What do you got for me?
What's wrong with you people?
I got nothing for you.
What's wrong with you?
Benediction right there. That was so good.
What's going on, everyone, and welcome to The Reformatory, the podcast for the local church and by the local church, and we are your local churchmen. My name is Josh, and I'm here, as always, with my man with a plan, my man in the chair, the captain, Jack Barry. Jack, it is good to see you. I am once again absolutely sweating.
Oh, like yeah. Oh, yeah.
Stuck pig. Sweating like a cat in a room full of rocking chairs, as they say. A bull in a china shop. A illegal in America currently. I don't know. I don't know. That might be a little further. They're at least sweating. We know it ain't safe out there for nobody these days.
Yeah, and nobody's safe. Let's just put it at that. Nobody's safe.
Ain't nobody safe.
Jeez.
Oh man. Good.
Yeah,
gracious.
It is it's kind of a swelter here in the Pacific Northwest.
I hate it. 4th of July is coming up. Got any plans? Actually, when this releases, the 4th will be, I think, like the next day. True. Got any plans for the 4th?
We are going to go over to one of the families in our community group, probably, and just hang out with them. My son's birthday is coming up on the Lord's Day on next Sunday.
It's the best.
So, the 6th. So, I can't remember... I think we're having some sort of party for him.
Yeah.
After church or something like that.
Right on. That's awesome. How old is he now? 3?
2.
Oh, 2. He's only 2.
Only 2.
That is wild.
Oh yeah.
Like time, dude, like he acts older than 2, which is I think that's the Russian in him.
I don't know about
they mature quicker. that's wild. He's only 2. Yeah. Good gracious. That's nuts. Man.
Yep.
Not much different here. Lord's Day was good. We had our members meeting last Sunday. So that was good. Voted in a sabbatical policy.
Nice.
Which was awesome. Our church needs it. We got David heading on to sabbatical here in July. I'll be doing most of the preaching, although I'm getting some really, really good help from Pastors Andrew and Baker Mayfield Colton. Yeah, that's right. Going through 2 Timothy. I landed on 2 Timothy. I've never preached through 2 Timothy before. Did 1 Timothy, Philippians, Romans, but 2 Timothy is always one that's eluded me, and I've always wanted to preach through it. So it's happening. Gonna cram 2 Timothy into 14 weeks. So yeah, no time for dawdling, as they say, Jack.
Yeah.
Yeah.
True.
Yeah. True. But looking forward to that. That's going to be a lot of fun. Jack, we got a lot to talk about today. We tried to do a 2-for-1 last ep. It just didn't work. So we are talking about the reading of the word this week. Mm-hmm. But before we do, it is time for everyone's... before we do this, hang on. I want to give a special shout out. Mm-hmm. Special shout out to the highlight of like my week last week.
True.
And that was meeting some listeners of the podcast. Darren and his wife, Kayla. Mm-hmm. Caldwell. Caldwell. No, it's Caldwell. Because I always remember that. I think it's like the cigar Caldwell, but it's Caldwell. Mm-hmm. They are on vacation, and they happen to have kind of a hop, skip, and a jump through Washington, and they reached mm-hmm. out and wanted to get together with you and me, and dude, it was the time of my life. They are such gracious people.
So much tea was spilled in that, conversation.
Nothing we can talk about.
I don't think we can talk about any of that.
Nothing we can talk about.
So much stuff that we kind of already had suspicions of got confirmed in the conversations that we had. So.
Hey, what happens while smoking cigars stays while smoking cigars. But a couple things, doing fantastic work down in Utah. Fantastic. I think,
by the way.
Yeah.
Utah is wild, too, of what they told
us. Oh, dude. Kayla, one of the questions I asked Kayla was, dude, you got to give me the lowdown on this Mormon wives show. And, dude, it was awesome. It was awesome. But anyway, Darren.
Cuckoo.
Bonkers. Darren and Kayla, super gracious. Amazing, doing amazing work down there in Utah. Darren is worth a follow on Twitter. He's always so encouraging. Just really cool to meet them. We love meeting listeners, and it's always super weird for me and Jack because, like, honestly, like, and I'm not being humble here. Like, this is not me like being faux humble. I forget that people listen to this sometimes because these are the conversations Jack and I have normally. We just record it and put it online. And then I'll be like, oh yeah, I said that on a podcast and you listen to it. And that's really encouraging to me. That's really cool. Anyway, great. Get to know them. Last thing I'll say, Darren is huge.
Dude.
He is so tall.
He's
got at least 6'4".
How that guy didn't go into the NBA
or the NFL? Like, yeah, let's not short him, yeah, right,
true.
Dude? If people look on the socials, because we posted a picture with them on Instagram and Twitter, you see like
Darren is the 2 height feet difference taller than
everyone
both
in
Josh
the room, dude. He makes me look like a child, dude. So I looked at that photo. I'm like, this is not flattering. Nothing about this is flattering. Darren is so tall. Dude, he's just, yeah. Anyway, if he wasn't so gracious, he'd be very intimidating.
Yeah.
But as they say, gentle giant. And I love, those are my favorite kind of people. But anyway, just had to get that shout out. Darren and Kayla, super cool people. Love them. Be praying for them. Doing amazing work down there in Utah. Anyway, Jack, as I have said, it is time for everyone's favorite, new favorite segment, don't forget to eat your Instant Grams.
And now's the time you've all been waiting for. The Reformatory Podcast presents Don't Forget to Eat Your Instant Grams with your hosts, Josh Loftus and Jack Barry. And remember, kids, it's not heresy if you believe it hard enough.
That's right. It is. Don't forget to eat your Instant Grams. And remember, kids, it's not heresy if you believe it hard enough. That is not true at all. But the clips that we are going to watch today might actually think that that's true. Jack, I've got two choice selections for you today. One of them was sent to us by Pac-Man.
Ooh. Oh,
okay. Abendroth.
I mean,
which is a dope name. I could say Pat-Man because his first name is
been great,
but his too, first but name his first name is
he's
Pat.
Not we yeah we don't
but,
call him the
but
Pat-Man.
Aldridge in Chicago is the Pat-Man.
Yeah,
Pat from the Pac-Dom is the Pac-Man. Which yeah we got to keep them separate. Put respect on both the names. Anyway, he sent us this choice, very choice video, and this one I want to be very clear. This one's for the ladies. So ladies, you better listen up.
Gosh.
Because Reformatory is about to drop some knowledge on you.
I mean, if you're a woman, you ain't got no business wearing no pajama pants. Somebody said, what? The Bible is very plain. You got pajama pants on in the house, you a cross-dresser. Put on something that's holy and sanctified. So I'm supposed to say, well, I'm supposed to be comfortable in my own house. Listen, your body's supposed to be a living sacrifice. It ain't meant to be comfortable. The Bible said, Romans 12:1, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your body a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God with your reasonable service, being not conformed to this world, but be ye therefore transformed by the renewing of your mind. Praise God.
My boy spitting truth.
Dude, this guy looks like Malcolm X's grandson, right? With the glasses.
Dude, the glasses, they are Malcolm glasses. They really are. Initial thoughts, Jack, on my end are,
well,
yes and amen.
Pajama pants?
Yes and amen.
Dude.
Ladies, dude. What are you doing? Walking around the house in those pajama pants.
What? Pajama pants out of all things?
What do you think you're doing? What in the... In the like anti Leave It to Beaver, are y'all doing?
What?
Y'all need to get some sanctified up here. Hang on, he ain't done. Brother still has some spitting to do.
Mine, praise God. You know, you got these men now, amen, and it's becoming a norm in society. They'll get a cell phone and stick it up. And they'll go and they'll put a wig on and a dress and a bra and some women clothes and they'll narrate something that they've seen somewhere else. They're cross dressers and they're supposed to be men. There's a cross dressing spirit in the land now. But Deuteronomy 22:5 condemns it. And those of you that think it's funny, it's a problem with you. You better get a heart check. And if
There's a cross-dressing spirit in the land? What?
You better get a heart check. You hear what my brother said there at the end? Here's the thing. Here's the thing.
I can't tell if this guy's an independent fundamentalist pastor or a Pentecostal dude just gone buck wild right now. But
Jack, this is what happens when we started allowing like people to wear pajamas in Walmart. It has infected the home. Okay,
home. Cross dressing came into play.
This video has turned me full Christian nationalist. We need to bring back the modesty rules. Ladies, if you are wearing pajamas, how dare you, ladies, be comfortable in your own home? If you are comfortable in your own home, it means that you are not being sanctified. Amen? It means that you are not living holy lives. Amen? It means that you are not doing what you have been called to do. Amen? I think my wife might come up here and shank me. Actually.
Oh, she'll really yeah. Good. I think Lauren will throw something at you.
I can say as a married man, I'm not going to go any farther. My brother's speaking. Mm. You know, let the consciences reign on this one. Jack, I would say that I have a palate cleanser for you, but in fact, might even be worse, okay?
Yeah.
I would like to introduce to you, and this is going to segue perfectly into our topic today. I would like to introduce to you...
My wife's getting my son behind.
What's up, Nastia? Dude, we got a rare wife reveal. Tell her to say hi to the listeners. No, tell her... Hey, can you have her in the mic say, subscribe to the Reformatory in Russian?
She's taking care of my son right now.
Oh, she's taking care of the kid. Kiddo.
Top of it.
Okay.
He probably needs a diaper change.
She better not be in pajama pants.
I don't think she is. Better, no.
Good for you. Ruling your house. Well done, Ooh. Jack. Look at you. Did you just get...
I just got crop dusted by that smell.
Got crop dusted by your son. Okay, dude, we got to get through this. I'm going to introduce to you the quote-unquote prayer that is prayed at Bethel Church right before they take their offering. This is their offering prayer. Are you ready for this?
Here we go. Maybe. Online, if you want to give, there's a link in the description there that you can click on as well. But let's shout this out, okay? I am powerful, and what I believe changes the world. So today I declare God is in a good mood. He loves me all the time. Nothing can separate me from his love. Jesus' blood paid for everything. I will tell nations of what he has done. I am important. How he made me is amazing. I was designed for worship. My mouth establishes praise to silence the enemy. Everywhere I go becomes a perfect health zone. And with God, nothing is impossible. Come on, amazing.
Come on with it.
Our ushers are going to go ahead and pass the buckets out.
Now you give us money.
Josh, perfect health zones need money.
Perfect health zone need money. Dude. God, hey, you know what?
Dumbest stuff.
Wanted to make sure God was in a good mood, because you'd hate to catch God in a bad mood, right? You'd absolutely hate to catch Daddy God in a bad mood. That has been, don't forget to eat your Instagrams. Jack, this is why liturgy is important.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? This is why it is important that we, vital, that we as Christians understand, when it comes specifically to the Lord's Day, what has God ordained in his word for us to utilize for the purpose of worshiping him, right? We talk about the ordinary means of grace. That is a phrase that I'm sure you have heard before, listeners. And it's not that the means of grace are somehow simple. It's not that usage of the word ordinary. It means that they are ordained. They are the ordained means of grace, the things that God has placed in his word and says, these are the ways that I desire to be worshiped. So these are the elements that we use in our Lord's Day to worship the Lord. Things like preaching, singing, covered that last week, prayer, the observance of the sacraments, right? Baptism, the Lord's Supper. And what we're going to cover today is the reading and the proclamation of the word of God, right? And what's important about understanding the means of grace and why they're important is because when you engage with them correctly, when you utilize the means of grace that God has given you to worship him, you are both experiencing in the moment and reminded of the grace of God in your life. When we receive the word of God and it pierces our hearts and it speaks to our souls, that is a grace. We are experiencing in that moment the grace of God and the connection that the word of God has with the Holy Spirit that resides within us, right? Mm-hmm. There's a grace that's experienced, as well as being reminded of, in the Lord's Supper, the sacrifice of Christ, but not just his sacrifice, his victory over sin, Satan, and death, and the fact that he's going to come again in victory, and we are all, as his believers, going to share in that victory corporately. We're reminded of that grace. So the ordinary means of grace are important, and they're vital, and they're what we should be utilizing when we worship the Lord, especially on the Lord's Day. So the one that we're talking about today is the reading of the word. Last week was the singing of the word, and we talked about the importance of utilizing the voices of the congregation and song to worship God, and good ways to do that, bad ways to do that, right? And why singing is important. Today, we're talking about why reading the word, reading the scriptures, proclaiming the word of God is part of a good and robust, reformed, and biblical liturgical Lord's Day service. So The questions before we hop into this excellent article that I found that we're going to kind of use as a template, some things that I wanted to cover just kind of straight from the top is why is there such an emphasis in the liturgical service on the reading of the word? Why is this an aspect of the Lord's Day service? Well, listeners, I'm glad you asked. Because the word of God in a proper reformed, I would say especially reformed Baptist understanding of a liturgical service, the word of God is the central point of that service. Everything revolves around and moves through and is anchored by the word of God, right? We get that from 2 Timothy 4:13, where Paul commands Timothy to, in his absence, make sure that you are reading the word corporately together. Do not forsake reading the word, right? often in churches, and what's neat to see is that lots of churches engage with this portion differently. And it's cool to see how different churches will do it, right? Often in a lot of more liturgical services, there is what's known as the reading of the law, right? Is there is a portion in your service dedicated to reading, reading a portion of the law of God, right? Whether it's a picked out chosen passage that fits with that particular sermon that day, or some people just work through portions of scripture. Why is that? Well, it's because the law is good. We know that from Psalms 119:97, right? We do not believe that Christ abolished the law. He fulfilled it. He did not make it null and void. He made it wonderful because of the purpose that it now has in the life of believers. So you'll often have a reading of the law, and you'll often have a reading of a New Testament passage. Again, sometimes it's something that fits with the sermon. Sometimes they'll just be working through a book. Sometimes it's a reading through one of the Gospels. Sometimes the reading of the word looks like a portion out of Psalms or Proverbs, right? Different churches engage with it differently. And there's many different ways to utilize the reading of the word. But it's important. It's important that the reading of the word has a place in a liturgical service. And before we get into the reasons of why, I want to throw it over to Jack, because I know your church does a reading of the word, and you guys have this as a portion in your Lord's Day service, which I absolutely love.
So we do a time period in which we do, I would say, worship and song, and then a call to worship, which I would say is our gospel welcome. And then we do something that incorporates scripture, whether it be this last Lord's Day was a call and response that we did out of one of the Psalms, based off of one of the Psalms. And then I read Genesis chapter 11, verses 1 through 9. We do worship song, more of a prolonged version of
call to worship,
and then we do some more singing, and then we go into a fellowship time for about 5 minutes, and then we transition over to the reading of the word, and then proclaiming the word through sermon. And so, during that time, I'm really focused on, one, do people have Bibles open, Bible apps open? Where can they find the text? Me trying to read the text plainly and succinctly as well, too. It's a huge portion of it. I'll just say this. When I'm up on stage and reading the text, I'm not preaching.
Right.
There's a difference.
Yes.
Between reading the text and then your pastor taking that text and expounding upon the text and preaching a sermon.
Yes.
I think there is a big conversation about who gets to read the text.
Oh, yeah. Oh, dude, you're getting into spicy territory now. Yeah.
During liturgies.
Sure.
And I don't think that reading a text is authoritative in what you're doing.
Sure.
Because whenever I read the text, this goes verbatim for whatever we do, whoever's reading the text. But I usually will say it like, this is what God's word says to us today. And then I will say, this is the word of the Lord.
Yeah.
And then the congregation responds with, thanks be to God.
Yeah.
So every time we read a text, it sounds like that.
Yeah.
It's not the person who is reading the text is expounding upon it.
Sure. Absolutely.
And I think that is an important distinction, because a lot of people will say, well, women can't do this and can't do that in the service.
Sure.
And they just need to be quiet, and they need to understand authoritativeness.
And for goodness sake, they better not be in pajama pants
yep,
at church. How dare they?
But I mean, I think there is a difference between understanding that you have male only eldership,
mm-hmm.
and you have ways in which you can incorporate women into worship, and you're not breaking anything. You're not doing anything against the text or what mm-hmm. the text is saying.
Mm-hmm.
And my church does this. Like, we have some women occasionally go up there and read the text.
Sure.
And it's nothing different. I mean, I think it's just that there's a lot of people doing a lot of things within our Lord's Day service.
Yeah.
And we appreciate whoever is able to read the text can do that. And so,
yeah. Yeah. And the beauty about a topic like this, right, is that it gives room for conscience, right? Mm. And that's something that I really enjoy, because you will, even in the albeit pretty small world of Reformed Baptist churches, you will see differences of conscience in how the liturgy is worked out, right? And that's something that I applaud. We need that. That's something that, you know, we need our churches to be anonymity. It's we believe in the something of the local church, where you're not like, I'm drawing a massive blank. People are shouting at me right now. We believe in the, it's not anonymity.
Autonomy?
Thank autonomy? You. Autonomy, okay. Dude. Oh, man, oh my yeah. gosh. Thank no, you I for coming in sometimes. Clutch, Jack. We had listeners man. Shouting at us. The autonomy of the local
yeah.
church,
yeah.
which means that the local church and their practices are not dictated to by a higher governing authority. It's one of the distinctions between Baptists and our Presbyterian brothers and sisters, right? So Jack's 100% correct. There is room for grace in these topics, and that's really important to remember, right? We believe in the essential truths of what constitutes a local church, right? Male only eldership, right? We believe that the centrality of Christ and his word, things like that. But in terms of practice, there is grace within orthodoxy. And that's very sure. important to remember, is your church might not do it like my church, but the main emphasis that we want to make sure is there within the local church, and the main reason for this particular episode and the main reason for having it in your liturgy is that the word of God remains central. That from the beginning of the call to worship to the end of the benediction and everything in between, it is saturated with the word of God. That's extremely, extremely important, right? So this article from Ligonier, we'll put the link to it in the description of the app. It, I think, gives a really great kind of lays out some really great examples of why this portion of the liturgy, the reading of the word, is important. And I'm just going to kind of read through. It has three main points. I'm going to read through what it says, and then we're going to kind of work in our own thoughts here. It's a really short article, but really, really great. It says this in a quote, reading the scriptures aloud in worship has several advantages. First, it helps the congregation become more acquainted with the content of the word of God. So we're going to stop right there. Jack, this is really, really important, and something that I think a lot of churches in America today don't place emphasis on. Mm-hmm. And it's to the detriment of the congregation and to the church. I think that we incorrectly assume that's because someone is coming to church, they are somehow already receiving the word in adequate measure throughout their life, right?
Yeah.
While they're not here. And we place a different emphasis on the Lord's Day service, maybe a more evangelical emphasis than a word-centered emphasis, right? Not to say, again, as we've already covered, that you shouldn't have evangelical aspects in your service. The lost should be able to be saved in your service, right? But your service yeah. is not for the lost. That was yeah. the distinction that I think we made earlier in the series, right? Mm-hmm. But the word of God must remain central to the Lord's Day service. This is something that we've talked about. We've talked about the importance of that. And it's what's important to understand is that when we come to the Lord's Day service, we do not come to the Lord's Day to hear the opinions of men. We do not come to hear the worldly wisdom of our culture. We do not come to hear our pastor's personal opinions or convictions on things, right? When we gather on the Lord's Day, we are there ultimately for the worship of the Lord, but to receive the word of God. And it's the pastor's job on that Lord's Day, right? And this is why we have such an emphasis on the word, is we do not want our congregations to hear our opinions. We want them to hear, just as the prophets of old proclaimed, thus says the Lord, right? And we want there to be pure, unedited, undefiled, pure scripture that is read aloud, that is proclaimed. Like Jack said, it's not a sermon without exposition, right? Right. There's a different port time in the service for that.
Yeah.
Right. This is the time for us to simply hear the unfiltered, undistilled, unedited word of God in its context for the edification of the believers. Jack, that's really, really important, because I think that there is somewhat of a pandemic, if I can use that triggering word right now, within evangelical churches of biblical ignorance. And simply having a port time in your service where the word of God is read aloud is really, really important because of that, at least in my opinion.
Yeah, it's a time where I think people can adjust back in to where we've been. Mm-hmm. So if you're doing a sermon series, you're telegraphing it in a way in which you're trying to tell a story there too. Mm-hmm. So when you're reading the word aloud, you're trying to get people in a posture of hearing the text read. Plus also you're starting to generate the wheels of curiosity about, oh yeah, this is going to be interesting when you get to exposition, right? Yeah. When you get to talking about it, hopefully your pastors are doing a good job in the biblical theology department, especially when you're quoting out of the Old Testament. Mm-hmm. Because a lot of the stuff that we talked about this last Lord's Day Sunday can be expounded upon in not only the New Testament, but even into Revelation as well too.
Yeah.
So Revelation is part of the New Testament, but I mean, it's the end. It's the bookend of the Bible.
Right. We're tracking. Right? We're tracking.
So, but yeah, I think reading the word aloud take some time to, you're kind of ruminating, you know, not to use cigar language, because we haven't talked about cigars in a while.
We haven't. But, no, hit us with that though.
But when you smoke a cigar, sometimes first, what I like to do is I like to cold draw.
Right.
So I like to cut or punch the end of the cigar, and then I'll cold draw to kind of get that and let some taste ruminate in my mouth.
Preview.
And maybe when you
preview
toast,
for the experience.
When you toast the cigar, you're getting more kind of tastes and flavors and stuff like that. Right. That's what the reading of the word does in prompting you spiritually. Is it kind of gets you into, it should get you into the mood of curiosity and kind of almost prepping you in a way in which I hope you know, the Holy Spirit prompted our pastor to prep to talk about these specific verses.
Yeah.
Which usually it comes up, but
Well, and that's why I love churches that will do an Old Testament or a reading of the law, right? Mm. Because as good Reformed Baptists, we believe in law-gospel distinction, right? We do not believe the law is the gospel. They are distinct, but they are both good, right? And they are both utilized within the gospel. And that's something that I really love, is it helps to train the congregation, right? To hear the law read in the Old Testament and to be able to then interpret that law and filter that law through the context of the new, which is what we should be doing, right? And it's a healthy exercise. And just like Jack said, right? It the reading of the word builds expectation. It builds curiosity, as he said. It builds wonder. It's like, this is the word of God that is being given to us. This is, again, it's without exposition. It's without explanation. It's not that you can't have that, right? Again, that's what a sermon is. But it's the word of God and it's being read to us, and we are receiving it corporately. Dude, it's fantastic. So, okay, that's just the first one. We got to move on here. The first one, first, it helps the congregation become more acquainted with the content of the Word of God, right? Becomes familiar in their head. That's a good thing. Second, reading the Bible aloud to God's people guarantees that they will hear divine truth. Even if, I love this point, even if the pastor has an off week, or inadvertently delivers a mistaken teaching, having the scriptures read aloud in the service ensures that the Lord's flock receives God's truth and be encouraged to heed it. I absolutely love that, right? Yeah. Because it coincides perfectly with the promise that we have in scripture that God's word will never return void. It will always accomplish the purpose that the Spirit utilizes it to accomplish. And it can give the pastors such confidence to know that it is not your fluency or your way with words, your wordsmithing, that makes this Lord's Day effective for the people of God. Was the word of God proclaimed? Was it read? Was it said? Did the words, "Thus saith the Lord," come out of the mouth, and the word of God was sent out from that, right? That's what the Holy Spirit utilizes. You're not a super pastor. You're not a super preacher. It's the word of God that is living and active, sharper than any two-edged sword, able to pierce bone and marrow. It's not your words. It's not your exposition. It's not your wisdom. It's not your hot takes. It's the word of God that the Holy Spirit grabs and applies to the hearts of men. And Jack, that is such a comfort to know that the word of God, it's such a simple truth, but it's so comforting to know that the word of God was proclaimed today. We accomplished what we are called to do. You know what I'm saying? Like, it's such a comfort in a world that I think is so performance driven and image driven, and make sure that everything is dialed, everything is sharp. It's not that you want to be lazy. No one's advocating to be lazy in your sermon. Put the prep in, right? You have to.
Yeah.
But it's good to know that it is not your affluent speaking that the Spirit grabs onto. It's the word of God. And that's why we read it aloud. It's because there's power in the word. Right.
Yeah. And certain words will spark certain references back to certain places in the Bible.
Yes.
And that should spark imagination too. So, for instance, in this last Lord's Day Sunday, when it's in the text in Genesis 11, now all of humanity was gathered in one place. Like, if you're a good Bible reader, like, where does that come up again?
Yep.
Comes up in Pentecost.
Yep.
Now, again, it says in Acts chapter 2, they were again all in one place.
Yeah.
And it's like, you know, certain little words like that, I think, spark your imagination if you're well versed in your Bible. And that's why it's so important for us to, I think, do those things versus having I think Josh and I have talked about this before, but letting the Bible basically communicate the truths of God versus any other mode or medium of entertainment.
Yes.
Is a different thing.
Yeah.
So it is very different for us to read the word and have our imaginations kind of sparked in this way versus watching a TV show. It's just very different.
Yeah.
You know,
of course it is.
So,
yeah, absolutely.
But,
absolutely. But
yeah, those things should spark the word just read aloud. There should be things that should already be sparking your imagination if you kind of know, you know, certain phrases that are going to be coming up.
Right. Right. So, yeah. And yeah. I'll say this, like, you know, to the congregation, hold your pastors accountable and make sure that the word of God is being read. Make sure that it is being read aloud. Make sure that your service is saturated with the word of God, because that's what you need. That's what we all need.
Yeah.
And to the pastors, do not fall into the trap that I believe our culture and Satan himself tries to get you to believe that the effectiveness of the word of God in people's lives is dependent upon your ability to apply it or to communicate it. Okay. It's the Holy Spirit that convicts, encourages, and equips the hearts of men and women in the local church.
Yep.
It is not you. You are called to preach faithfully and to serve faithfully and to shepherd faithfully, but make no mistake, the Holy Spirit does not need you. It utilizes you, and that is a grace and something that should keep us humble. Something that should keep us awestruck, that who am I that the Lord would use me to encourage and to convict and to equip his people? It is not out of need. It is out of love. And that's really important for us to remember, because it keeps us humble and it keeps us dependent upon the change agent, not our ability to communicate. But the Holy Spirit utilizing the proclaimed word of God. And that's why we read it aloud, is because you could, like this article said, you could bomb. Just your sermon gets absolutely dog walked, dude. You could have the worst preaching day in the world. But if you read the word of God and you proclaimed, well, this is what the word of God says, and you voice that and you give that to the people, you have given them what the Spirit uses to equip them, to convict them, and to encourage them. That's what we do. And that's why reading the word aloud, even corporately, that call and response like Jack talked about at the beginning, so important, so important. Okay, third one, and then final, we got to wrap up. So reading the word aloud, first helps the congregation become more acquainted with the word of God. It reading the word of God guarantees that they will hear divine truth. And third, it is also worth noting that the scriptures have been designed to be read aloud. It's what they were designed for. Yep. During the period in which the scriptures were written, very few people could read. And even those who could read seldom owned their own copies of any portion of the Bible. They learned the word of God by hearing it. We are blessed in our day that most adults, at least in the West, can read, and that we can even own and bring our own Bibles to church. But that is a recent phenomenon. Yep. God gave his word not only for us to read in private, but to hear it read aloud. And if in his divine wisdom he gave it for reading aloud, we are missing something if scripture is not read publicly in worship. I love that. I think often, Jack, we forget how privileged we are to hold the pages of divine scripture in our hand. You know, like, I think we would do well to next time you open up your Bible, right? Listener, I want you to do this. Next time you open up your Bible, I want you to look at it. I want you to read the words and understand how rare it is for us to be able to have the words of the living God given to us in the pages of Scripture. That Bible that you hold has been handed down through the blood of God's people. It will never return void. It is alive, living, and active. It's such a blessing that we have the ability to have this word of God that we, I mean, and everyone these days owns umpteenth amount of Bibles. Crossway is doing a Bible giveaway every single week, it seems like. I've never won one. I'm not bitter, I promise.
I'm not bitter, I promise.
No, I promise I'm not bitter, gosh. Right? But reading the word aloud, right? It proclaims the importance and centrality of it. And it continues to encourage the corporate nature of the Lord's Day service. That when we read this together, we are saying we are dependent on it. This is important. This is something that we need. It's a vital aspect of the Lord's Day service. It's a vital aspect of our spiritual walk, right, on this earth. And we should come to the Lord's Day expecting to hear the word of God and expecting to participate within the Word of God, the hearing of it, the proclaiming of it, the preaching of it, the reading of it, the praying of it. That's something that we should expect to do when we come into the Lord's Day, is to hear the words, "Thus says the Lord," and we receive those things. Right.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, and I mean, even it just shows you how the church has done that too. The church has done ways in which that whole epistle was read aloud.
Yeah.
In the midst of the congregation of that church.
Yep.
And so us just taking the time to just even focus on part of it is still having that connective tissue back to our brothers and sisters of the past.
Absolutely.
And how they receive the word. So,
yeah. Yeah. And take confidence again. Like I want to make sure that pastors aren't listening to this and feel like they've been kicked. All right. We love pastors, right? Yeah. We want to encourage pastors. My encouragement to you, pastor, as we've said, is create such a dependency on the word of God in your heart and in your practice, and know that the Holy Spirit promises to apply the word of God when it is proclaimed. He will do it. He does it every single time. And that should give you great confidence to proclaim it without equivocation, proclaim it with conviction and with courage. Right? Don't feel like you have to change its message or soften it up or harden it. Preach the word, proclaim the word, read the word aloud, and the Holy Spirit promises to utilize it. It's so encouraging. And it's so encouraging when I go to Lord's Day services at other churches and I hear them simply read the word. And I love it when they read it together. They'll put it up on the screen and either a pastor or someone else will proclaim the word of God, or they'll say, okay, you know, turn in your bulletins or in your Bibles to this. And then they read it together. And the voices, the corporate voices of the church proclaiming the word of God together, dude, it is so awesome. It gives me chills thinking about it. There's just something about there's power in that, and there's safety in that. And it should be a common practice in a liturgical service because it's important and it's central to what the Lord's Day is all about, the word of God, right?
Yep.
So, Jack, my friend, I think we have run the course.
Mm-hmm.
And before people get too comfortable, we wouldn't want them to get too comfortable. Because far be it from this podcast to make you feel comfortable, especially in your own home. We do not want to be the pajamas of podcasts here,
oh
Jack.
Gosh.
We should probably get out of here before people start to lose their ability to be sanctified today.
I guess so. If you appreciate Josh and I's focus here during this liturgy series and focus on what the Reformatory is of making the local church central to the believer's life, you can follow us more on the sociables, if you will, the metaverse, the Facebook, the Instagram, goes well with chocolate or marshmallow, or the sociable formerly known as Twitter X, if you will.
That's right.
It's funny, one of my pastors took a shot at Elon in his whole sermon. We'll talk about that on the Patreon. But you can follow us at the tag at Reformatory Pod. You can drop us a comment, question, episode idea, concern, maybe. I might get some concerned comments this week. I don't know. We'll see what happens. But
we take them together, man. It's okay. Yeah. People gotta chill.
Have Josh, you can tell the lovely people how they might find us on other platforms or support us in other ways.
That's right. Well, if you want to watch this episode as well as listen to it, you can head on over to YouTube and search for the Reformatory Podcast and watch. You want to see our ugly mugs? Go for it. Don't know why you'd want to, but make sure to hit the like button, subscribe, hit the little bell for notifications, as the kids say, share it with a friend. We'd really appreciate it. Make sure to, as Jack said, hit us up with all of those tasty instant grams. We really enjoy when you guys send those to us and we add them. Dude, I gotta share one of our members at church this past Sunday. I sat down because we had a potluck before our members meeting, and I sat down and he goes, "Dude, I gotta know, what did you use to do your voice for the Instagram ad. I'm like, what do you mean? He's like, how did you get your voice to do that? Like, what program did you use? And I'm like, what do you mean, what program? This is just my voice. And he's like, oh, you just did it? I'm like, of course I did it. What are you talking about? Get out of here. You're bothering me.
Oh, my gosh.
He thought it was a voice changer.
Oh, my gosh.
No. That's just pure talent, boy. That's pure talent.
I just do it live.
Put some respect on the name. Respect it. Anyway. Yeah. Respect the name. See. So I don't know where I am now. I lost it. Oh yes, Patreon. Make sure to head on over to Patreon for $5 a month. You could have this episode early. You get a couple bonus eps every week. Exclusive content sent straight to your Patreon app feed. It's really, really cool. And for $5 a month, all of that and more could be yours. And if you choose to do so, our pledge to you is that your name shall be hallowed.
Hallowed
through the halls of the podcast. That is our pledge to you. We thank you all for listening, and we will catch you on the next step of the Reformatory.